The Holy Gospel according to John, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" And Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And the Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Like many of you, I watched the Olympics these past several weeks, and I was most intrigued by the women's hockey team from Korea. It was a team that was formed just 12 days before the Olympics began, and it was formed due to an 11th-hour push by the two Koreas to improve their relationship. The team was coached by a Canadian and contained the same number of players from North Korea as it did from South Korea. And neither country is a soccer powerhouse, so it is no surprise at all that they lost all 5 of their games by a combined score of 28-2. It's also not a surprise that the team was surrounded by political maneuvering, with every Korean diplomat suddenly an expert in hockey, global scrutiny as the world watched each and every move, and competitive angst as clashes in playing styles erupted, and playing time was based more often on politics than it was on skill. The team's most important job was to play hockey, but the players were so overwhelmed by rules and history, governments and politics, that they couldn't do what they were meant to do. They couldn't focus and play hockey. And that's really what's going on in our text today, too, in the Gospel. This is the feast day of Passover. It is one of the biggest pilgrimage feasts in the entire Jewish year. And good Jewish families traveled to the temple from all over to worship. And they couldn't bring animals with them on their trip, so they needed to buy animals for sacrifice. They were likely from a different country or a different city, and their home currency wasn't accepted, and so they needed the money changers to change their money. But in what might seem like a fit of anger, Jesus made a whip and drove out the animals and turned over the tables of the money changers. And the temple business, and thus the worship, was completely shut down. Can you imagine? It's one of the biggest days of the year in the temple, and suddenly Jesus comes through and shuts it all down. It's no wonder that the Jews exclaimed, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Or in plain English, "Who are you?" In the Gospel of John, the temple wasn't called a den of robbers, like in the Synoptic Gospels. These people were doing things the way they had always been done. Sure, there might have been some corruption amongst the money changers, But that's not the only thing that Jesus was upset about. Jesus instead confronts the temple system itself, a system which is so embedded with its own rules and practices that its focus had become on business transactions, not the covenantal relationship between God and the people. The real purpose of the temple as the dwelling place of God was overshadowed. And something very important had changed. And Jesus wanted to make sure that they understood. The temple was the holy place of God's presence on earth. But God is now present in Jesus. Jesus is now the holy place of God, the temple of God. And this temple must be clean. During Lent, we are called to clean out our temple, our life, to remove those things which come between us and God. Pastor Emily Ann Davis compares it to crumbing a table. And I love this analogy. If you've ever been to a white tablecloth restaurant, you may have seen the waiter come by and sweep the crumbs off the table between courses. And this is to keep the table clean, as well as the floor clean. But there's more to it than that. The neater the table, the more you can focus on and enjoy the food which is on your plate. And so Jesus crumbed the temple. He got rid of the things going on in the temple that prevented the focus on God. And we too are called to crumb our lives, to brush away our worldly preoccupations so that we can make room for the Holy One in our lives. We're also called as a community of faith to crumb our congregation, to ask where and when the crumbs of our religious practices and our institution hamper us from fully embracing the Holy One in our space. To ask if God is number one in our life, and then to ponder how we are living this out. We had an interesting discussion in our adult Sunday school class a couple of weeks ago. We were asked to think about how we introduce ourselves. When someone says, "Tell me about yourself," most of us will likely tell about our family, our current or our past work life, maybe our hobbies, maybe where we've come from or where we've been. Would we start our introduction by saying, "I am a Christian"? Why not? If I'm a Christian and I have no other gods before God, you remember that first commandment we just read from the book of Exodus, then why isn't being a Christian the thing which defines who I am? When people are asked where they see God in their lives, not surprisingly, the answers most often are, while I'm in church, while I'm doing church things, or when I'm helping others. But add up the hours. How much of our time is spent doing these things? Most of us don't spend the majority of our lives doing church stuff. And so the challenge before us is to see ourselves as Christians all the time. When we're standing in line at the grocery store, when we're sitting on the lacrosse field, when we're on yet another conference call at work, or doing the regular and mundane things of the week on Tuesday mornings and Fridays at lunch. The challenge is to see God at work in the world and with us always, to be a Christian first and foremost. And if we can't, then crumb our lives until we can. And I think this is the point that Jesus is trying to make by cleaning out the temple and replacing the temple with himself. No longer is God associated only with the temple. God is incarnate in Jesus, and Jesus lives in us and through us. And we don't have to come to church or be with church people to experience God. God is here, absolutely. But this church and these walls cannot contain God any more than the temple could contain God. We can't let the trappings of this place or the trappings of our lives come between us and our relationship with Jesus, or keep us from making God number one in our lives. We do come to this place, though, so that we can be strengthened by God's word and by God's people, which is each and every one of us, so that we can then go out filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to love and serve others. On February 26th, the South Korean hockey players waved a tearful goodbye to their North Korean teammates. For 33 days, they had lived together, eaten together, and played together. They did not play hockey well, but they did begin to clear out the cattle and the sheep, the doves and the money changers from their temples, so that perhaps in the future they might be able to play hockey together. Some days being a Christian isn't the thing that defines us, because we have too many crumbs on our table and too many cattle and sheep in our temples. Jesus promises, though, to help us clean out our temples and strengthen our relationship with God so that we can make God number one in our lives. Amen.